People playing for their team only, my friend. It's time for people to evaluate stuff.
A political innuendo or for a magic innuendo?
All three. I was actually talking about Pokemon Go right now.
Gotcha.
Here's so aggravating. Super heavy. I got called out for... Well, I was just transitioning from our previous conversation, our off-show conversation, to this conversation.
Oh, yeah, that one should not be aired in the show.
So I was accused of cheating.
Okay.
This weekend. We ran to catch a couple of gyms before I had to go to the arena, my local game shop, to judge a GPT, right? So we pulled over next to this gym on the side of the road. And as we're in the last, like, round of knocking out the last guy, we saw a person in a gold car pull up opposite of us, but close to the gym. We're like, oh, well, they're obviously Pokemon people. They're probably going to come poach our gym from us. And my wife's like, I'm going to be ready, because we get poached a lot because we're in the minority, right? And red is definitely in the majority in our town. So it's pretty likely that someone's going to pull up next to you, red person, to steal your gym out from under you, right? It's just kind of how it works.
Right.
So she was ready to go, and I'm like, all right, I knocked out the last guy, and she's like, boom, boom. All right, I've taken it. And then I put a guy in, and then my son put a guy in, and we collected, and we drove off. And I'm like, I should probably swing over and say hi to those people in that silver, in that gold car. And she's like, you have to be at the shop in 15 minutes. You don't have time to go home, get your stuff, go to the shop if you're going to sit around and talk to strangers for 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. Right. So we went home, and we were not probably out of the park yet when our gym got taken down and replaced by red people.
Right.
No big deal. So there's a Facebook group in Salina.
Yep.
About the Pokemon Go. And I don't know if you saw this, but probably 15 minutes after that happened, I had just gotten to the arena. It was 1 o'clock. We were just trying to fire off the GPT when a Facebook post came out and posted us all as spoofers. Me, my wife, my son, we were all spoofing. And they're like, we pulled up and we took the, we didn't see anybody talk about cheating, blah, blah, blah. So I replied, oh, you were the guy in the gold car. I was going to stop by and say hello. We were in the silver car parked on the road, and you were, of course, parked in the drive or the parking lot there. I was going to say hello, but I had to get to the arena to judge this magic tournament. So, you know, next time you see me, if you get an opportunity, jump out of your car and say hello, because I like doing that. And a bunch of people were just like, yeah, this is not a – you can't say that Samus Garobo is a cheater because, and he's pretty vocal about not cheating.
Right.
And like all these people were like,
just annihilating the person.
And about 10 minutes later, the whole post was deleted. I'm like, yeah. All I did was post a bunch of facts about what happened. Like, and I could went into more details, you know, like, hey, you were facing West. There were like three people in your car. I noticed your window was rolled down. Like, you pulled right next to the red post. Like, I don't understand how you couldn't see us. We were parked on the curb next to the group of sunflowers. You know what I mean? Like, we had an awful lot of details that I could have went into as a spoofer. But yet, they were trying to smear my name because I have been so anti-vocal about the cheaters that we've caught. We started taking video now as we started catching people cheating. And just posting videos.
Nice.
So, I'm pretty annoyed. Deleted. They have also been deleted, yes.
Yeah.
But I can just try to be vocal against it.
So, one of the main admin of that group, she's one of Carl's friends, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, well, oh, she seems very adamant about whenever a red team gets accused of cheating to defend it, like, really adamantly. And
right, and then they usually, she's usually like, I'm on blue team, but blah, blah, blah.
Right, and then everything gets deleted. No, I've noticed that.
Right. I said, no, I'm just trying to raise awareness, just like in Magic, right? Like, if someone's cheating in Magic, that person should be at least made aware of what they are doing wrong, because maybe right. It's unintentional. Like, I unintentionally make mistakes all the time. We label under the umbrella of I'm a dirty cheater. And right. It's not necessarily that I'm doing it on purpose, it's just I'm making a mistake. And then once it's pointed out to me, then I learn from that mistake and I don't do it again.
Kind of like this weekend at the GP. All of the...
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. There was a ton of missed triggers on the fast lands.
Oh, really? Like, they weren't coming into play untapped?
No. They were coming into play untapped on, like, turn four.
Oh, and they should have been tapped?
Yeah. And they should have been tapped. And that was on camera.
At the GP?
Yep.
Or the Pro Tour?
The Pro Tour, sorry.
Oh, okay. Like, I heard, I was watching, so I stayed up kind of late last night and I watched the finals. I hadn't watched a bunch of the other coverage yet, which we'll totally get into in a minute. But I was kind of fast-forwarding to the actual games, and I caught a thing somewhere there saying Shuto was just going to get a warning for something, but I didn't catch what. And I had watched the game, and I wondered if maybe that was something along those lines. And I bet it probably was. Like, hey, that land should have came into play tapped or whatever.
Yeah, because there was a lot of players that were playing the fast lands after turn three when they shouldn't have been. And they were coming into play untapped. And they were playing spells with them.
I mean, I guess it's easy to get that confused with the other land, right? Where, yeah, I'm going to play untapped. Like, I could probably understand some confusion, but you have to be aware of your own cards.
Right.
To some extent. And then I bet once it was pointed out to them once or twice, they probably got that.
Right.
I would hope.
But still, I mean, even with people commentating like LSV or whoever.
They missed some stuff too.
Yeah, they were missing the land drops, so I think
it's hard to catch that kind of stuff because the artwork's so similar sometimes. And
well, no, it's not that. I think it's just because many of these players haven't really experienced the fast lands. I mean, there's some
probably
of them
also
have,
true.
But I don't know. It just seems like some people may have not been playing with the Fastlands before, so they don't know the exact wording on them correctly.
Maybe. Or like I said, they are brand new. They're right out of the set. You know, it's easy for that to be something you miss in testing. Just kind of let those kind of things slide. So yeah, it's easy to kind of slip into bad habits there. Speaking of bad habits, Travis?
Yeah.
This is an episode 53. A podcast, theoretically, about Magic the Gathering. I did it!
Yeah.
Title this week. Not about D&D. This week's show title is Post-Pro Tour Kaladesh, subtitled Game Day Weekend. Are you looking forward to Game Day this weekend, Travis?
Yeah, because I'll be working.
Aw, sweet. It's Remington's birthday. So we're going to have Game Day, and then we'll take a little break, and then we're going to play games all night long until the wee hours of the morning. So, yay, game day. It's going to be crazy. We talked about it earlier, how that's also your orgasm face.
Yeah.
Oh, now the smile. All right, well, let's jump into the show. This week's troll cards, I'm going to choose Harold Okozlik once again. I've had this guy be my troll card several times. This week, for a very special reason, I started putting together that you sent, that we talked about last week. I just started trying to put it together, piece it together from the stuff I had. I'm missing a few things like the torrential gear hulks. But the rest of it, I think I basically have locked down now. And I started thinking, and I was going through it, and I'm like, wow, maybe this deck should also run Heralds of Kozilek. So it's specifically in here to troll one Travis J. Dwarf.
What?
That's your new name, Travis J. Dwarf.
Okay.
No? Because of the beard, Travis.
Yeah, but if
and
I
the
shave
fact that
it
you're
off,
4 foot tall.
If I shave it off and then put it in the ground, then I'll grow children. That's how
anyway, so basically, it is very similar. So I guess you could set it on fire, and that would be a beard abortion.
True, but I can only set it on fire if I'm with my friends Sean and Mark, and that's because we used to play this game called On Fire, where the three of us sat in a, you know, we sat around drinking, watching movies and everything, and then randomly someone would light a Zippo lighter and throw it at the other person and then yell on fire. And then if they got burnt, they lost.
This is the best game ever. I cannot wait to start playing this game with you. I'm just going to have like 80 Zippos.
12, I quit drinking.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Wow, that's insane. Anyway, I was putting your deck together and I started thinking and I was hanging out with some other people and they're like, wow, you're playing Factory Worker. And I'm like, yeah, we're playing Factory Workers. I think it's pretty strong. They're like, do you also want to run Herald of Kozilek? And I'm like, I think I very much do want to run Herald of Kozilek as well. So for those of you who are not familiar with Herald of Kozilek, let me actually pull up the link. It is a 2/4 for 3, devoid. Colorless spells you cast cost one less. So every artifact is colorless, but most artifacts are colorless. So I'm thinking I might augment your deck slightly to include between 2 and 4 Herald of Kozilek.
See,
just to try to get that extra speed.
When I was playing it, I was thinking 3. Just because you're not always going to get the inspector. So having the other drop that makes them cost less. Plus it's harder
to
kill.
I'm not 100% sure that we don't want to actually run like 3 and 3. Because again, like you said, it's harder to kill. And it's not like we're running vehicles to crew.
Right.
To kind of to go for it. So I want to do some experimenting with it. I also kind of think, and we may have talked about this slightly, that this might be the shell that is the hybrid colorless also.
Right.
And you get to run things like the, I think it's the Crypt Lands, the Crypt Catacombs. It taps for any color as long as it's for devoid spells. Otherwise it taps for butthole mana.
Okay.
Then you get to run like a very aggressive aggro sideboard, right? So you can run all those same kind of and or spells in the sideboard. So you could run the 3-mana counter spell. I guess I should just probably
Disappearing Act.
No, it's let me just punch this in, hit all the devoid spells in standard.
Void Shatter.
Void Shatter. So you can run like Void Shatters. You also have things at your disposal like Complete Disregard if you wanted to. You also would have things like Dimensional Infiltrator, like Drowner of Hope, stuff like this, that just is like these pound you down kind of creatures that you can put in your sideboard. Dust Stalker,
right.
Potentially. So you just run these really, really efficient devoid creatures in your sideboard. Because we kind of talked about potentially having a either go more control in the sideboard or go
aggro.
Very, very aggro. And there's not a lot more that's more aggro than like 5 Dust Stalkers. I'm trying to think what else.
Reality Smashers.
Reality Smashers, potentially Thought Not Seers. Things like Eldrazi Sky Spawner could be really strong.
Yeah.
Forerunner of Slaughter, that's what I was trying to think of. That gives colorless creature haste until end of turn. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's very easy to add. Like, that colorless or devoid Eldrazi list that was red-black was very, very good for quite a while. And it was very cheap, and it was because of cards like these. And just go bleh. So, I don't know. I'm curious to fiddle with this a lot more and kind of play with it. I think you're on to some potentially interesting things. And I say that not because there was like a bunch of them in the Pro Tour, but I think a lot of people had similar thoughts. Aetherworks Marvel, mm-hmm. where you kind of landed on the Aetherworks or the Reservoir.
Right.
And I kind of agree. I think we can play with it some more.
I think it's going to be fun.
I think so, too. And if I can get it all put together, I'll play it at game day, I think. Either I will or Remington will. And then the other one of us will probably put together some sort of either Grixis or Jeskai. Or not Grixis. Sorry, Mardu or Jeskai. Deck built around... control built around Goblin Dark Dwellers. I still think that guy's underappreciated right now in the format. So he's not quite as good as the Torrential Gear Hulk, but I can afford him.
So speaking of Mardu and Gear Hulks, mm-hmm. before we get mm-hmm. to my
deal, I like where your head's at.
One of my buddies...
I was just going to say, I thought maybe you were leading up to this. I thought maybe knowing what your troll card is, I thought perhaps this story was going to go hand in hand with that. Nope. And I was really excited for a second.
Nope. One of my friends built a Mardu Reanimator Gear Hulk deck.
Mm-hmm. It's been very popular online. I've seen a couple of times.
He's running 4 of the black Gear Hulks, 4 of the red Gear Hulks, and 2 of the white Gear Hulks. And then he has a playset of Ever After and a playset of Refurbish.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. the rest of it is just removal.
Like draw and discard things?
No, mainly just removal. Yeah.
Really? You're not running things like... So the versions I've been seeing of this being played on Magic Online have things like Tormenting Voice and... What is it? Cathartic Reunion?
Right.
They're running those as ways to, like, put Gear Hulks into the graveyard.
Yeah.
Most lists that I've seen have been running 4 black, 4 white, and usually, like, 1 to 2 red ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I it is interesting.
Are they also running Harmonicons?
I don't... know if I've seen any with Panharmonicons, but they are running the Ever Afters and stuff like that to try to get that insane value.
Yeah, no, my buddy's running a playset of the Panharmonicons also, simply because it's funny to him when you play a red Gear Hulk and they have to choose, well, do I draw 3 or do you take X plus 3 or whatever, or do you let me mill myself for 6 and potentially take a ton of damage? Or do I draw 6? It's like a horrible browbeat because it's on a stick.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Like I said, I think the deck is potentially very, very good. Personally, for me, other than, like, was it Harness Lightning and a few other removal spells here or there, I don't know how much I love it. Because you are talking about a 4 mana Raise Dead or Zombify effect.
Right.
And I think the format's probably a little slow for that, or fast for that. I think that deck would be a little slow. is what I'm trying to say. And when you have things out there like spell quellers and reflector mage and stuff like that, I just don't know if you want those kind of things.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. So hit me with your troll. Because like I said, I thought maybe you were going to tell me about some sweet Gearhulk reanimated control list that ran this thing. Because that would be very sweet to me.
That would be very sweet, but instead it's not. So I'm running, or my troll card is Tree of Perdition. And as we all know, I got an insane boner about this card once it was spoiled. And right. I haven't really
got a big
utilized
butt.
It. Yeah. I haven't really utilized it. But I went to States, and as I was walking in, one of my buddies, he's like, "Hey, Travis, you want to be really funny?" I was like, "What's that?" He goes, "You should play Triska Decaphobia." I was like, "All right, I'm sold. Let's do this." So I played Triska Tree in States. I lost every round that I played.
I said, "Why didn't you play the artifact deck? That's what we were talking about. We had a plan."
Yeah, but then someone said it would be funnier if I did it this way. Yeah.
I don't think they wanted you to have a chance to win.
I
think that person wasn't your friend.
So, I lost every round that I played. But every time that we played, or that I played, I did win games. Just not enough to get through.
Not two of them, right?
Yeah. So, the first round that I played, as soon as I started shuffling, he goes, "Travis, what are you doing?" I was like, "I'm playing Triska Decaphobia." He's like, "Yeah, I saw that while you were shuffling. Why are you doing that?" I'm like, "Well, because I know it irritates you." He's like,
"Oh my goodness.
Oh my god, I'm gonna lose." First game that we played, I beat him in 4 minutes. Because
that's pretty good.
Turn one, nothing happened. Turn two, I transgressed his mind. Turn three, neither one of us did anything. Well, I mean, he played a creature, but I killed it. Turn four, I played the tree. And then turn five, I played Triska Decaphobia. And he was just like, "I don't have any enchantment removal." I was like, "So do you scoop?" He goes, "Yeah." Like, he was just so sad that he had to say scoop. Then another game, I got the a different game. I got the ultimate beatdown with the Insolent Neonates. Turn one, dropped one. Turn two, dropped his two friends that were also insolent, and then proceeded just to beat his face in. And every time he played a second creature, I just killed it immediately. But
well, I do hear interesting things about Menace guys.
Yeah, they're pretty fun, especially when they only have one blocker to deal with, and removal spells aren't good against the Neonates.
Right. I'll just throw this guy over here.
Oh, Deckenstone? Yeah, that's a good thing you paid 2 mana. I'm just going to draw a card and hit you for 3 instead. Thanks, right. Fiery Temper. So as I was playing the deck on Saturday, it got me thinking, what if I just take out all of the burn spells and make it a complete control deck? Just make it blue-black control.
I think the problem is if they fall below 13, like, you don't have a good way to get them back up there. Like, yeah, you could take it up with the Triska Decaphobia, right? Like, you could make them gain life to there, but not very quickly.
Right.
I don't know. It seems, I mean, I suppose it could work.
Well, and I figure,
like, black red artifact stuff.
Well, see, in the black red, I was running Rakdos, and it wasn't performing. Because
what?
I was running Rakdos, black red.
Did you say boring?
I said it was what? It wasn't performing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, let's just take 2 seconds here and let's think about this for a moment. So four triskelicophobias, right? You have unlawful disintegration. You have what?
Well, I had three traits.
Let's do this. Let's why don't we share your screen? You throw this up in the MTG Goldfish and let's build a deck real fast.
Alright, let me get to go.
And we share Travis's screen because Samus can't. It takes me like an hour to do anything.
Alright, let me just get there. Decks. Submit a deck.
Okay. And we'll just do this. We'll just do this live. I'm going to make a note in here that we're doing live. What? You want to call it red black control? Just triskelicophobia.
You got it.
All right. Boom. Lock you down. Triskelicophobia.
Fucking Google settings all automatically goes to my pay account.
Nice.
Well, shit. I fucked up already.
You just want to update preview there. I just want you to, like, sign in and it, like, goes to, I don't know, like, Blake Lively nudes or something.
No, I won't do that. I don't look at porn on my computer.
Oh, that's what phones are for?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so triskelicophobias, right? And then we have, you said three trees of perdition.
Yep.
Are you hitting the add card button?
I'm just, oh yeah, that's what I should do, huh? Look, clearly I don't do this much.
No. I do like the idea of the triskelion. All right, so let's update this preview now. So, obviously we want the nauseous Gear Hulk, right?
Yeah.
That's like your alternate win condition. And now we need to start putting in our removal package. Oh, I thought we were going to go black-red.
Oh, okay.
Are we going Grixis?
No, well... The way I was updating it, I'm gonna try it with. Yeah, we can do Grixis because Torrential Gear Hulk will get so many extra removal spells that way.
Okay, all right. So harness lightning, right? Like that's just a duh. Let's see, what else do we really need to have in here? Is this a deck that needs Galvanic Bombardment?
Galvanic Bombardment?
That's
one where it does 2 plus X.
That's the one where it's like a shock, but then it's a shock plus the number of them in the graveyard.
Yeah.
I saw them do so much work on the Pro Tour coverage, like they're fronting my brain again. Yeah, I like them. Again, there's so many, like, the creatures are either super low toughness or they go to 4.
Yeah.
So even if you have to, like, combine two of them to kill something, they're so good. Let's see, we did the Harness Lightning.
So now we have, like, 15.
And then you have, well, we still probably need to finish the 3-mana
burn
removal suite. So, like, either Unlicensed Disintegration or...
Unlicensed Disintegration is to the Slaughter. Oh, Ruinous Path.
It's...
Ruinous Path.
Destroy a creature, and then if you have an artifact, then they also lose 3 life.
Yeah, the Unlicensed Disintegration.
Right. I'm missing the occasional word from you, I think, is what's going on.
Oh, you said, what's the new something, and I thought
the hero's downfall.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant Ruinous Path.
We could do Ruinous Path, or we could do Murder. I was thinking Murder because it's right.
Right.
And so, that way it gets hit by Torrential Gear Hulk.
Yeah. Well, and so does
Or you could run Glimmer of Genius, which I also think I like here. Like four Glimmer of Genius.
Is that the scry two, draw two, gain two energy?
Make two energy, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think I like four of those in here.
What are we sitting at? 4, 12, 16, 20, 24, 27.
All right, so we got to cut some cards?
No. We're at 29. I think you think you want to go 25 lands?
At least.
Then we need 6 cards.
We need 6 cards? Do we want to have, like... My gut is to put in Transgress the Minds and other things. But you could do something like... Obnixilus, I think, would be a good one in here. You could also do something like... No, you can't do that. You could also do something like Metal Spinner's Puzzle Knot. Like, I want more card draw. I have to do it with something like Radiant... not Radiant Flames. Painful Truce. You could also put Radiant Flames in the main. But I don't think that's exactly what we want to do.
All right, so 5 more. About 1 Obnix.
So 1 Obnix list.
So if we do, I mean, we could do the 4.
Do you want some control magic in here?
Well, see, that's why I was going to go with a Transgress the Mind, like 3 Transgress the Mind and 2. What do you call them? It's the black enchantment that gives equipped or enchanted creature -2/-2.
Oh, yeah, you know what you're talking about. I don't think you want to run anything like that because it doesn't get re-hit by your nauseous Gear Hulk.
Right.
I think whatever you put in here, you want it to make sure that it. If you're gonna splash blue specifically for that, you want all your spells to be. Instance.
Right.
So I'm thinking, and that's part of the reason I don't necessarily want to do Transgress the Mind because it's a sorcery.
Some card draw.
We could put in some more card draw. Like I said, you could do Painful Truce. You could also do. I don't know. It's okay. What about the red rare that they can pay extra? Like, it's a removal spell. It's a sorcery, though. I cannot think what it is called. It's from the last block. With the 3 damage to a player. Or you can spend, like, an extra mana to do it to both.
Oh.
You know, like, Coalition something, maybe?
Talking about, like, Borrowed Hostility?
Yeah, it's those themes of cards, but it's the rare one. Hey, I'm going to track it down.
Black or red?
Collective Defiance.
Yeah.
Target players dispels the cards in their hand and draws that many. It deals 4 damage to target creature, or it does 3 damage to target opponent. It is a sorcery.
So.
But that would give you a weird card draw slash, you know what I mean? Like, put some Gimgamic Bombardments in your graveyard.
You know, that is a sorcery, but there is one out of Kaladesh that costs 1 more. And it is an instant speed. Fateful Showdown. You choose target creature or player. And then you discard all the cards in your hand, and they take damage equal to the number of cards discarded, then you draw that many.
Yeah,
And it's
instant. Some people are playing that guy. The problem is that it's really limited by the number of cards in your hand.
Well, so is Collective Defiance.
No, because it's always going to do 4, and then you spend 1 extra mana to add the second effect. Like, if you wanted to do the draw spell part of it, then that's true. But if you want to just do, like, 4 damage to a creature and then ping them for 3, you're talking about 4 mana.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really nice about this, and I don't know how much you care, but also I secretly have been building this entire deck to work for or work with Goblin Dark Dwellers. So you could own like 2 Goblin Dark Dwellers and or 3 Goblin Dark Dwellers and 2 Collective Defiance. You'd be in reasonable shape. The only card that doesn't work would be Glimmer of Genius.
Right. But even, I mean, if you're making it just strictly black-red, then instead of Glimmer of Genius, Succumb to Darkness? Is that what it's called?
Maybe, but I think I'd run the one that says gain 2 life, lose 2 life, or lose 2 life, draw 2 cards, get 2 energy. I think it's live fast.
Yeah, something
because being able to run things like Harness Lightning and burn out a creature for like, I don't know, say 6 to get other Gear Hulks.
Right.
Pretty insane.
Yeah.
So, and that's where if I was going to make it just black-red, I would look at that instead of trying to build everything around the ability for it to be a sorcery or for the ability to be an instant. Mm-hmm. I would look at making it where I can get maximum value out of a card like Goblin Dark Dwellers instead, and then that just kind of fixed my mana base. That being said, this mana base isn't that bad once you add in like the gold Aether Hub, and then you put in your fast lands and your man lands. This mana base is fine.
Yeah.
A little slow, but fine. The problem really is that we don't do anything on turn 1 except pay a tap land, which is fine.
We can do this.
Harsh Scrutiny.
Yeah, they reveal their hand, you choose a creature, they discard it, and then you scry 1.
I actually really like that card. Again, it's a sorcery.
Uh-huh.
We start going back to how I like to build my decks, right? Where I have the 8 discard spell effects, so I'd run 4 of these Harsh Scrutinies and the 4 Transgress the Minds.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I don't have to run nearly as many removal spells because I know what's going on and I can do stuff like that.
Right.
So that's probably how I'm going to update along these lines. And then I'll be using things like Deccan Stone and whatever the instant is that kills an attacking creature. Let me think of it real fast. Immobilizing Glare. Like, I'll probably use some combination of those things. The Mardu deck will sing again. But overall, I think this is a fine start. Like, some of the numbers may not be right. Some of the numbers may be just slightly off, but I think you're on the right path here. If you wanted it to be Grixis. Like, you have a hard to deal with win condition. You actually have several, right? And this is where I start going, do you even really need Tree of Perdition? Like, it's a 4 drop that, you know, doesn't... Like, it attacks 1 time for 7, sweet.
Right?
But it doesn't... it doesn't really do anything else after that besides block.
If all else, I can just... I can kill it with the Noxious Gear Hulk and gain 13.
That's true. If you had to, you could gain a bunch of life off of it. Maybe it's fine. Like, you're one of the people who would put something together like this and try it and come back and be like, oh, it was great.
Or come back and be like, yeah, fucking sucks.
That's right, Samus. What were you thinking? I was thinking it'd be a lot of fun, you guys. So there you go. I'll try to grab a screenshot when Travis has got this all put together, and we'll throw this up on the...
So...
Here we go. Just do it like this.
Let's see. For spells, got 4... 14... Let's see. Alright, so we have 32 one. Spells.
I almost don't know if you want 2 Obnixilus. Yeah. Like, I really do feel like he's going to get a ton of value.
Let me do this best. So
you could also run like the new Chandra in here too.
So 21, 31, 35. Yeah, we have 35 spells. So I just need 13 more lands.
So you want to have in your the man lands, the wandering Frumeral.
Yep.
You probably want all 4 of those.
Right.
And then let me see the scroll back down for me.
So I have any color, blue-red, blue-black.
So the Sunken Hollow, that's the one that comes into play untapped if you have 2 or basics.
Yeah.
The Spine Bluff Canal
is 2 or less.
Okay, so that's the fast land.
So the other blue-black land, the Reveal.
Yeah, you can put the Reveal in there, but I think you want to probably have a few less non-basics and start adding a few more basics in.
Right.
What you end up cutting is you cut things like the Fastlands and the Sunken Hollows for basics.
Yeah.
Want to run something like probably like 4. Probably run like, you want to get to like 9 basics total. So like 3 swamps. If you were to go 3, 3, and 3, right? That might be close. And then you start cutting out the Sunken Hollows and the Spine Buff Canals. Because why they're very good on turn 2, the fast lands. It's less important for the fast lands in standard than they are like in modern.
Right.
Look like that's 25 lands, 60 yep, cards. I said that seems close to me.
I love the 3 thumbnail previews.
It's yeah, like, I mean,
none of those are like, yeah, none of this works together. Let's run it.
Well, I mean, they all kind of do the same thing, right? Like, remove a creature, remove the player.
Right.
So, I mean, they're close. So anyway, yeah, you could try that. I can't because I don't have any Torrential Gear Hulks because they shot up to $30, Captain. I bought mine on Thursday for $6 a piece.
Oh, man, that was so good. Like, I was just building them just to troll people, and then they'd be like, oh, by the way, these things are stupid expensive because everybody loves control.
Well, that's true. It's very true. I love control.
Oh, man, watch those controls.
So speaking of control and...
Stupid.
Speaking of the control and the Pro Tour, you got to watch quite a bit of it.
No, not... I mean... I could have watched more, but I was busy not caring that much. Like, I was watching it.
Like, I got to watch bits and pieces here.
Like, I was mainly...
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was mainly watching it when I was in between my games of League, or they were streaming it on our, what's that, our, you know, that event. States.
Right, States.
Yeah. Other than that, it was just
kind of
meh.
We basically, like I said, I watched a little bit here, a little bit there. I probably watched more of it actually on the first day.
Yeah.
Because of the limited. Because that's what typically appeals to me more. But a lot of these decks really appeal to me just kind of looking at them.
By the way,
The Grixis Control deck. Oh, go ahead.
This limited format is, or at least this draft format is, kind of difficult to figure out.
Like, oh, it's very hard.
Like,
I am like Captain 3-1.
These last 2 weeks, I haven't won a single game.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I went black green two weeks ago, and then I went blue white yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They're just awful.
So we had talked about it. Like I said before, I'm pretty much the 3-1 deck. And what I end up losing to are the players of the similar caliber. And it feels like it comes down to mana issues, very much. Like, it's not it to whichever one of us gets mana flooded or screwed harder than the other person. So like this week, for example, I beat, who I would consider probably the current best player at the shop. Basically because he, like, flooded out both games just back-to-back. And I was able to build up a reasonable ground presence to stop his massive ground presence. And then I just used something like a Whirler Maker, build the robot army, and fly over. And then I ended up losing to an old friend, Suitcase Josh, who was basically on, like, this extremely aggressive red aggro deck last week. And then I ended up losing to that exact same deck again this week. We were big enough, we had two tables, but not big enough to break the two pods into fully separate pods, I guess.
Right. So is he actually back playing again?
He's back playing, at least for this set.
Okay.
We'll see how much longer it sticks around, but I'm hoping he does. We kind of got him a little bit out of his basement with Pokemon Go, and I think that's kind of a wee bit. But yeah, he's made it for the last two or three drafts, so I'm pretty pleased.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really awesome to have him back. But yeah, so like the mono red deck, if nobody else moves into red, that deck is just incredibly difficult to beat. And I thought my deck I thought was incredibly good. Like, I ended up going almost mono black,
right?
Because it just took like all the removal spells and everything, and I ended up going in splashing red for, I think, mostly things like unlicensed disintegration. I was just getting in situations where I was 2-for-1-ing my opponent. But he didn't even care because he just kept going. He kept playing more 2-for-1s against me. He was like, oh, 2-for-1. I'm like, all right, I'll blow you out like this. He's like, cool. Here, I just recover with another 2-for-1. Like, he had two of the mom. Like, I killed a token, I kill the mom, and I, like, lose a creature in the process or whatever. And he's like, okay, I'll play another one. And I was sitting next to Chris. And Chris later, he's like, you should have saw how fast Samus reached over there, grabbed that guy's graveyard, and checked that there was still a mom in there.
What do you
like,
mean?
It was just like, what's her name? Pia Nalir?
Oh, okay. Pia Nalar?
Pia Nalar?
Yeah,
he had two. He had two.
Wow.
Like, one on turn 3 and, like, one on turn 5.
Wow.
And I'm just, and I guess I just like, psh, like he played it and I didn't even blink. I just reached over, grabbed his library and shuffled through till I found it and put his library back.
You mean his graveyard?
Like, or graveyard, yeah. And, like, you were just like super captain, like you not have, me. You're a dirty cheater. You,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just like, nobody at my table was red at all. And I talked to Remington. He's like, yeah, I thought about moving into red, but I wasn't there. Like, I was in this sweet black green deck, and I just wasn't in the red. And this guy ran the tables.
How did his do?
I think he ended up losing to me to end up going 2-2 instead of 3-1.
Yeah, that black green deck is just, it's really difficult to build.
I think it is. I think, personally, my best experience with so far, again, another 3-1 deck, I was splashing white for the target creature gets +5/+5, or all your creatures get +2/+2.
Yeah.
Like, I was splashing for that, and that was the card that I had the most success. White deck. So I think you need something like that to kind of push you through. That being said, I have seen people have some really powerful things with the black Gear Hulk. Like, just beat you down, or the green Gear Hulk just beat you down.
So the person who won the draft last night for us, I was sitting right next to him, and first pack he opens the Champion of the Helm masterpiece. And that's nice. The one where it gives it +2/+2, and if it's legendary, it gains hexproof.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So second pack, he gets a Noxious Gear Hulk. All right, no, that's fun. Then third pack, I open up the one drop legendary. I can't remember her name because she's irrelevant to me. she's a 1/2. She makes creatures. Her name is
Green. The green one?
Ovaya, the Sage Lifecrafter.
Okay.
So I opened a foil one of those in the Spire Bluff Canal. And I'm just like, I don't want to pass the foil to him, but I needed
the land.
Yeah, I needed the land. So I ended up passing him the legendary foil, knowing that he had the Champion's Helm in his deck. I was so on tilt with myself. I'm like, why do I have to do this?
So here's a question. And this, I think we're going to use this to transition into a little bit of a talking point here before we move on to the next one. We were talking at this last draft about getting your value back out.
Right.
Right. So our shop, the arena, we run $12 things that are currently in print. So things like right now, like Kaladesh, Battle for Zendikar, stuff like that. We run $12 drafts. Now, we were talking, when do you just start taking the money card, right? So let's say you're rare. It's pick 3 or pack 3. You open your rare, and your rare is like double off color Fastland.
Okay.
And a bunch of uncommons that you don't want in your deck. And you could take like a common removal spell. Reasonable card, like a good 12th card. Like a 12th pick card.
Right.
This like $4 to $6 dual land. Like, okay. Where do you make that decision? What is that decision?
Normally when I draft, because, you know, I'm a completely logical thinker, and I always make the best decisions ever.
It's always rare draft. Okay.
Yeah. I just always take some, if I know something has value, or I know I'm going to play it in a different format, like either constructed or commander, I'll take it.
Simply okay, so you prioritize that, those above winning the draft?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, when do you start going? When do you start doing that?
Sometimes pick one.
Okay. Because we were sitting there having that discussion.
So basically, like for me, if it's a completely, if it's a garbage rare, and there's an uncommon that I want more, like pack one, I'll take the uncommon.
Sure.
But like so. Basically, the first pack, I try and decide colors. I mean, I'm not going to 100% decide my colors, but, you know, I take
the main color.
Right. I try and, like, find the cards that have the most playability in a limited format, and I grab those ones first, and then in between pack one and pack two, I will look through my pool and see what's the most valuable and try and remember what I have. And then once we start drafting pack two, I will go off of the first two packs being passed to me as to what colors I'm going into. And then if there's something I really want, I'll just take that instead.
Okay. So it came up because one, we got in a situation that like I just described where, I ended up taking a dual land over good series of uncommons from my deck. And then a little bit later, just a little bit later, the wife actually ran into a situation where she opened a Metallurgic Summons and she was not in blue.
Take it.
And she's like,
take it.
Is this a thing? And she didn't know. She's never been a price person. So usually what I have to do is run down what cards are over $10 for her. And then she can usually kind of remember if she hears it or whatever. And again, thankfully Chris was there and he's like, is it a blue rare? She's like, yes. And he's like, is it this? Is it a Torrential Gryhulk? He's like, no. Oh, is it Metallurgic Summons? And, S. And he goes, well, that's $12.
Well, that's $12?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man, I was just saying take it because it's fun.
They've shot up this week. Mostly, nice. I guess, because of this deck on MTG Goldfish that I really like and I want to talk to you about a little bit, perhaps a little bit later on. But like I said, and we kind of branched off into the subject of the guy drafting for the top eight at GP Las Vegas with the Modern Masters 2. And he took the foil-stamped Tarmogoyf over the Lightning Bolt that would have went well in his deck. We're kind of discussing that. And I was just curious, because like I'm one of those guys who... I think the value is around half a draft for me. Then I'll take it. If it's like around $6, I'll probably take it over other things.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like I could win. I can go 3-1 with a lot of crap, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
And end up in second or third pretty reasonably. Where I have a lot more difficulty justifying, like, okay, well, I won the draft. I got my, you know, seven packs or whatever it was for winning the draft. But when I open those packs, I'm going to end up with, you know, $4 of value instead of the guaranteed $7 that I passed.
Yeah. I understand that.
So it is a little difficult. And I think it's a good thing to ask yourself every once in a while. And if you can figure out what the people around you's mindsets are.
No.
Drafting habits in the past, it helps you make some decisions. For example, I had a guy this last draft. I had a guy. His name is Mike. He's from out of town, and he's known for one being in the green deck, and two, he's also one of those guys who tends to take the rares over other cards just a little bit more often. Where across from me was his friend John. They ride together. And John is known to eat rares in the first pack, but then after that, he doesn't care anymore. He just wants to get the rares in the first deck and then build his powerful deck. But after that, it's less of an issue.
Right.
Chris, like I said, he wants to win the draft. So he'll do that. But if there's a card that's more than $12, he'll take it first. Because he's like, well, I've already paid, you know, this draft was free. Mm-hmm. So now if I can win the free draft, yay. So like with those kind of things in mind, you can kind of figure out or at least improve what people are probably drafting.
So another thing, and I really dislike the term it's a free draft now, because either way you still paid for it. So I mean, if you're just
it's true.
Going in, okay, so basically how do I want to say this? Like if you're going into draft, you're going there to play and you're going there to try and win. But unless you already know that your deck is garbage, you shouldn't go in with the mindset of, well, I already paid for my draft, unless that card is worth like $30.
Well, and I think that's his exact point, is that at the if the card has the value equal of the draft.
No, not even equal, more than the draft.
Well, and I just want to kind of, again, flesh out this thought process that I got from Chris. And I've actually begun to agree more and more with it. If you get a single card, not in your pack, right? Someone passes you a $12 card and you take it, then that draft does in fact become free because somebody else handed you the money to pay for that draft. Okay. That doesn't mean you still don't play to win. It still doesn't mean you don't play to keep going. It's like, okay, hey, I paid for this draft for you.
But if you can't do anything with that, then, like, if you can't do anything with that pack that you just got, is it really paid for?
I mean, if you take the $12 card and all you do is turn around and cash out, then yes, you paid for that draft because you still have 44 other picks in that deck that you or in your deck that you can work with. And assuming you probably take like your rare from at least one of your packs, right? Assume you get at least one good rare out of three packs. That shouldn't be that hard. You should come out slightly ahead. And there's a lot of value in uncommons and commons in this format right now.
Right.
First Lightning's a couple of bucks. Aether Hub's a couple of bucks. There's particular format that have shot up a little bit more.
Yeah.
So you can still get the monetary value as well. But that's not the value that I'm going to get out of the draft. Right? The value I'm getting out of the draft is the fun that I sit down to play. The fun during the draft and the fun during the playing of the games.
Right.
Right? So if I basically divide the amount of fun that I have on a scale of 1 to 10 by the amount of money that I paid for, right, then I could assign a value. Say, like, I almost always enjoy the drafts. The last draft, I didn't really like that much. I did because I continuously was getting flooded out. I had good games, and I enjoyed the games, but my overall experience was very low. Now, if my draft was essentially paid for, all of a sudden, my cost for fun, that ratio goes whoop, way more in the fun category. I have to work to earn that money for that draft, so I'm essentially trading work for draft, you know, but if all of a sudden I'm not trading that work for draft anymore because someone passed me a $12 card, I'm going to have, you know, a much higher ratio of fun. And I think that's important to kind of think about every once in a while. Because I think people get stuck on, I have to win the draft. I have to win the draft.
Right.
But, or it's not worth it for me if I don't get enough prizes. Part of this mindset. If it's not worth it to me, if I don't win enough prizes.
Right.
Part of what you're paying for when you enter an event or a tournament like this is the experience and the fun of playing. I think that's probably what you were trying to reference, you know, especially with your wonderful little story about switching to Tristadecaphobia for states and winning 0% of games or matches, right. It sounded like. But you still sound like you had a fun time.
Yeah, because everybody there, as soon as they sat down, they were immediately cringing because they knew that they were going to lose to some jank garbage. And, I mean, 90% of the games, they would have lost to jank garbage had I drawn either of the win conditions.
So how many people were at this state tournament?
35?
Say it's normally, it's basically like your normal tournament crew, right? Because we've kind of talked about this before. Your area is basically crammed into this city
Right.
for Magic. There's not like people driving multiple, like 5 hours to get to this
No,
because
no, no.
it's, that's the closest states or whatever.
Right.
In Kansas, people will drive 45 minutes to 2 hours to go to the states in Kansas City.
Right. Now, the majority of the people that come to states are within like 40 minutes driving.
Sure.
And they're
And these are
normally
all
the
people
people.
that you know reasonably well.
Yeah. Like, they're the people
Yeah.
that show up for like every F&M.
Right. I want to come visit you for one of your states, I think. Not that I'll ever be able to afford it, but I think I want to go up there and play in one of your states. Because I think if I'm ever going to crush a state, it's going to be one like that. Where I just run hot at one of these smaller states with like 35 people, where it's 6 rounds or something.
Yeah, it was 6 rounds and then cut to the top eight.
Right. So that would be, because I to run long, hotter for more than that, it's going to be hard.
Right, but there's quite a few people who do the pro tour, or not the pro tour, but the, try and get to the pro tour also.
Well, and I'm not, I don't want to say that I'm slighting the quality of the people that you're playing with. For me to play well, I need to play and to finish well. Personally, I feel like I need one of those rooms where it's a much smaller tournament.
Right.
Right? Like about 6 rounds is about what I have in me before my brain starts to melt. And then we could take a little break, cut to top eight. I come back, and as long as I'm running hot, I could probably do okay.
Okay.
That's what it would take. If I were to go to like one of our states, I think one of the states that we had in Kansas was 9 rounds last I heard.
That sounds like
I'm
fun.
like, 9 rounds? No, that's why I don't go to GPs. I don't want to sit there and play 9 rounds of Magic in one day.
Right.
I would literally explode. I would literally explode. So. Let's skip around. We're not going to talk anymore about Pro Tour stuff. We'll talk about it some more in the coming weeks because there are a couple of decks that I really like. But I want to kind of talk to you about this deck that showed up on. It's a Saffron build, I believe.
Okay.
Basically, Metallurgic Summons and draw spells.
Nice.
And it also has the Time Walk. What's the Time Walk called right now? Mana, Awaken a Land Time Walk.
I can't remember.
Let me just click on him and see if I can find it. It's a deck, actually. That is not what I want. It's a Metallurgic Summons deck. Clearly. And now freaking MTG Goldfish is grinding for me. Think there's no way it's done well enough that they stuck it up in the metagame so far, I don't think. But anyway, it's the entire reason why the why the Metallurgic Summons is so high right now is because of this deck. And basically, like I said, it's just every card draw spell, few removal spells, and the Time Walk. And if you ever like Time Walk ends out on the field, like it's probably just the best feeling ever.
Right.
Okay, can I hit articles now? Okay, it worked. So far, so good. I want to send you this deck list so bad, Travis. Ah, budget. All right. Here it is. I'll copy. I will throw this in here above the mailbag. You can take a look at it. But Reunion, Harness Lightning, Tormenting Voice, Natural Connection, Radiant Flames, Glimmer of Genius, Nissa's Renewal. That's the other card. Nissa's Renewal, Part the Water Veil, Cultivator's Caravan, Metallurgic Summons, and Lands. And literally the idea is just dig until you find a Metallurgic Summons. Then dig until you find Part the Water Veil. And basically get the opportunity to... Because every time you play a sorcery or an instant, you get to make a creature.
Right.
And you just dig and make these bigger and bigger creatures. And kind of just take over the game. A lot of fun. I don't know if it's a... You know, that much fun. According to this, it's currently $63 on Magic Online. And almost all of that is Metallurgic Summons and Part the Water Veil. I guess a little bit's also lands, but a budgety deck. I don't know. Does this look like something that you would be willing to play?
I mean, it definitely looks like fun.
Well, and I think that's part of the reason why I'm drawn to it. Like, I watched him play some on the stream the other day, and it literally did look like just so much fun.
Right. Well, I did end up building the five-color Panharmonicon deck that he built.
Okay.
And let me tell you, even though I don't have all the pieces for it, that is one of the funnest decks I have played.
Like I said, I think this is part of the reason why I am drawn to the MTG Goldfish so much more than a lot of the other bigger, more winningier websites, baby, is because I feel like the decks are just that much more fun. It's never been winning for me. That's the most important part of Magic. It's the having fun.
Right.
So I think this is a website that kind of appeals to me in that regard. So, we've been going for a little while. Let's wrap up. I actually do have an email here, Travis, that I kind of want to talk to you about. So first of all, this is not supposed to be like a really serious email. I mean, it is supposed to be a serious email, but it's almost spam in the sense that it is, from podcast.com to improve our podcast quality. But I started reading it and I thought, so Zach would like to kind of hear this. This is how it starts. Another year of Oktoberfest has successfully wrapped up. Our team looks into five characteristics of this fall festival and the takeaways you can use to improve your podcast. So number one, consistency is the key. Since Oktoberfest has been around for 183 years, it's good to be consistent.
Yeah,
like, thank you. Once a year.
Stop drinking.
every October, people will get drunk from here to there, and it'll be glorious.
Right. Gotcha.
So, number one, consistency. Number two, keep their tradition alive. Is that not just consistency?
Part B? That is...
Oh, okay. So, number three, give people what they want. Each year, thousands of tourists flocks to Oktoberfest for adult beverages and food.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, everyone loves food and beer. I don't understand the problem.
Right.
Point. Boom. Give the people what they want. If you want a podcast about trolling people, lots of bad stories, and how one judge person is stupid enough to end up thinking he's not cheating and often does, you're the right podcast. Number four, pace yourself. 11 days of beer and bratwurst might sound like a much needed vacation. It's a go. So I guess they want us to be careful that we don't blow our wad all at once, I think is what they're saying.
Right.
thankfully, we can do stupid stuff like, let's just stop everything, stop the show notes, and build a deck.
Right, right, right. No, that's what we're supposed to do.
Number five, don't forget to have fun. With the amount of energy and effort that goes into producing an engaging podcast, it can be easy to give stress and forget why you started in the first place. Well, the reason I started this podcast was to look at your gorgeous, gorgeous man face.
Yeah, well, you're welcome for me being here.
I know, I tried killing you many a times, and yet somehow you managed to not die.
I'm like the fetus that wouldn't get aborted.
That's right. Unflushable baby.
Yep.
Okay. So thanks for watching this week's episode of Two Trolls of a Brew. Once again, my name is Sam. You can check out this episode and all past episodes at samusgrobo.com. You can send us an email at the number truetrollsbrew@gmail.com. You can check out my Twitch streaming every single day, Monday through Friday, and generally during the weekends, depending on what's going on. Twitch.tv/samusgrobo. You can, of course, follow us at Twitter. Once again, as always, samusgrobo@twitter.com. And Travis is turtlepower, the number is 319. For this week's game, Travis has selected another Would You Rather.
Oh, did you want me to go to the site?
Are you done? No, I went to the site. I'm ready. I thought you were talking.
Oh, no.
All right, let's go.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, Travis. This, is, I think, is an excellent one.
You have completely stalled out. There was such an amount of lag that I don't know what just happened.
That's exactly what happened. So would you rather be male or female?
Male.
You'd rather be male?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Ranma One Half?
Yeah. So the reason I'd rather be a male is because we don't have nearly as many negative double standards going towards us.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't want to get into all this.
No, that's just the end of my statement.
So the reason why I want to...
The negative double statements that we have is just kind of like,
I think the reason why I'd like to be able to do the Ranma One Half thing in particular would be you get all the benefits of both and none of the negatives.
Right.
You know, like, hey, I need to buy a car. Dude. Right? Hey, I want to make out with this hot chick.
Chick.
Girl. Okay, but we'll both put down be male, though, because I agree with you. I think probably, you know, it's hard for me to understand people who, and this is where my trans, you know, I really spend a lot of time trying to understand my trans friends. As a person who's not, it's difficult for me to kind of put myself in that mindset of, you know, this is my body. This is what I've been used to my whole life. And the fact that they are, and they believe that this is not the body that they're supposed to be in is very a strange concept for me. I respect and I understand that confusion, but again, this is the body I've always had. This is the body I'm used to. And if I were to wake up with bigger breasts than my fat man boobs, I would definitely feel like I had problems. You know, and I reached down to scratch my Johnson and it wasn't there, I'd probably freak out. You know what I mean? I would be like, ah! So my heart goes out to my friends who are not comfortable in their bodies. I don't think I could be comfortable in any other body. I think I would lose it. If I suddenly woke up and I was 8 feet tall, I think I would have the same problem. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Anyway, I think we've done this one before. Elbows facing the opposite direction or knees facing the opposite direction?
Knees.
So you could bend over and...
No, so that way I could look like a satyr.
Okay. Okay, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I understand. I like it. I like where you're at. either not brush your teeth for 1 month or not shower for 1 month. This, I think, is a telling question.
I think I'd rather... I would rather not take a shower for a month.
Oh, my goodness, no. I would not brush my teeth.
Like...
I would rather shower.
So, I don't leave my house unless I know I've brushed my teeth. Sometimes I brush my teeth twice before I leave my house because I just don't know.
Like I hate brushing my teeth.
See, I don't like brushing my teeth, but you know what else I don't like? Going to the dentist. And
that's true. I just don't go to the dentist.
Well, yeah, neither do I unless there's something wrong. But I try and prevent that as much as possible by brushing my teeth. And
well, see, now, and here's my thing, right? Like, I'm a big mouthwash and flossing guy. Like, I can do that stuff all day. But I hate brushing my teeth. When I was little, they took me to the dentist, and the dentist brushed my teeth, and it made me puke. And then they took me in a few months later, and they did a tooth cleaning, and it made me puke. And, like, for the first 6 times I went to the dentist ended up making me puke. To the dentist, and I don't brush my teeth. It is terrible. I'm a bad person. Thankfully, my wife still loves me.
That's gross.
It is gross. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty nasty. Would you rather be woken up at 3 a.m. every morning and forced to watch Mrs. Doubtfire?
Okay.
Or get punched in the face by an average man once every 2 months? Like, I love Robin Williams.
So, I mean, I think for the...
But every day at 3 a.m.?
I think for the first week it wouldn't be so bad.
Getting punched in the face by an average man?
No. Just getting woken up to watch Mrs. Doubtfire. I think for the first week it wouldn't be too bad. But, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'd rather get hit in the face.
I think so, too. Like, it would get irritating, especially if it was a different person every time.
Right?
Like, you don't know who it is. And, like, people draw lots, and they're like, it's your turn to punch Travis in the face this month.
I don't want to. The last guy got beat up. Sorry, bro.
But it's random.
Right,
where
right.
In a two-month period, you're going to get hit. You don't know when. So it's a surprise.
But that doesn't
so like maybe you're taking
back.
A piss. That's true. Maybe it doesn't. But what it does mean is that you could get ambushed and like you could get like whacked. And then at the end, like at the start end of one day, like at midnight, right? You get punched in the face. You're like, oh, and then right after midnight, you get punched in the face again and then you're good.
Right.
Right. Like you had almost 2 months without getting punched in the face. I don't know. I think I would rather just get punched in the face, too. And last one.
I think eventually you'd get used to getting punched in the face, though.
I don't think you'd ever get used to getting punched in the face.
This isn't that bad.
I think once you memorize Mrs. Doubtfire, then you start to enter into hell. I think once you memorize anything that you have to experience every single day, it's like going to hell.
Right.
All right, would you rather eat tree bark for one meal a day or have to pour cold milk over every single thing that you eat?
I'd go with cold milk.
Oh, is that a hot, tasty pizza pie?
Sweet, enhance it with more dairy.
Is that a luscious ice cream sundae?
Sweet, enhance it with more dairy.
Is that a steak? Perfectly cooked, medium rare, beautifully seasoned?
You know what?
More cow juice.
As Charlie Kelly would say, milk steak.
I think I'd rather eat tree bark. I think you could...
If you don't know that Charlie Kelly reference, then you need to watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's on my list. I figure I'll get to it when I'm in the tiny house.
You need to do it now instead.
I think you could do a lot with tree bark every day. It doesn't say it has to be like the main course or anything, the main part of the meal. I just think, you know, like grind it up. You put a little tree bark seasoning on your meal. You're good. It's like pepper, but probably has more taste.
Yeah.
Pepper. Okay, so here's my problem with canned pepper. If you have fresh ground, if you're grounding your own pepper, it's totally different. Taste is there. But if you're eating a pre-ground pepper that could have been ground 6 months ago and vacuum sealed for a few minutes, you might as well anyway.
It's all the same to me.
All right, Travis. Wrap us up, brother. Thanks for being a part of the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad I am here.
I was talking to listeners.
Yeah. I'm so glad I'm here for us. Bye, everybody. Troll on.